What time is it?
1 minute ago.
1 minute. So maybe during that 1 minute, I'll mention a few things. Number one, if you could open up to Daf Lamed Aleph on Behi, so we'll all be on the same page. Number two, I'm still trying to arrange a little bit of a hands-on session. We'll call it Shimush. I have a new name now because the previous person that I had in mind called me back to tell me you'll be better off with an English speaker. I'm a Hebrew speaker. So he gave me the name of someone who's bilingual. And the third thing that I wanted to mention, and really I'm waiting for Alan because he was the one who, together with Don, were initiating a possibility of continuing in Tzvachim in the afternoon, maybe once or twice a week. So we'll see if there are any takers to that. Okay, we're on Daf Lamed Aleph on the days. And we're looking at a sugya called the Shiur Esrog HaKatan. In other words, what's the minimum shear of an esrog, below which it's not kosher for the mitzvah of esrog? And the Gemara quotes a braisa that records a machlokas on this point between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Kasher, according to Rabbi Meir, egos, very small. Rabbi Yehuda says, kibetza. He requires a larger shear. The Gemara thinks that this might prove that even Rabbi Yehuda requires hadar, which was already proven to the contrary, that Rabbi Yehuda does not require hadar in esrog. And here it seems that Rabbi Yehuda requires hadar in esrog. And the Gemara says, no, this is not a matter of hadar. The requirement here is gemar peri. And in this case, since the esrog is so small, Rabbi Yehuda says, up until kibetza, we assume there's no gemar peri. Rashi here says very little about this sugya, but if we fast forward to Daf Lamed Vav without losing our place here, please, we're going to look at a sugya that's very similar, but perhaps different, and that's the sugya in Daf Lamed Vav called Bosar, which is an esrog that was cut down from the tree at a very, very early stage in its development. And the Gemara here regarding Esrog on Bosar, which is on Daf Lamed Vav 36a, which is approximately 10 lines up from the top. And the first word in the line is Tnan. And towards the end of the line, you'll see that the Gemara speaks about Rava. And then the Gemara says Esrog on Bosar on the next line, which starts with the word Kasha, and records a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. This is very interesting because our sugya on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Bey is about an early stage esrog, which is very small, records a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Here on Daf Lamed Vav, again about an esrog that's very small, called a Bosar esrog, we'll have to see exactly how small it is, records a machlokas not between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, but rather between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. The names are totally different, which seems to indicate that it's a whole different sugya. And the very fact that one is called Bosar and one is called an Esrog Katan, that differentiation in terminology would also point to the same conclusion that we're talking about two different sugyas. Now, the Chachamim accept the shita of Rabbi Shimon that an Esrog Bosar is kosher, and Rabbi Akiva passels an Esrog HaBosar. So Rabbi Akiva is the big machmir with regard to Bosar, and the Chachamim HaMekir. Now you'll notice that Tosus on the very bottom of Lamed Vav Amid Aleph quotes Rashi, and he says, Pirush HaKuntrus. Oh. How are you feeling, Alan? Hashem. Okay. Now, Baruch Hashem could be many things, but
good.
You know they say about Rav Hutna that if you say Baruch Hashem when he asks you how you're feeling, you say Kishem Shavuach Mala Ra Kach Muvar. That's what you meant. Baruch Hashem that we can have a kapar in Die Welt, you know.
Right.
That's what they say the old times, that a husband would point to his wife and he said, "Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to me in this world, he gave me the kapar in this world." Those are the days when you can joke about your wife. Today, forget it. You know, you crack any jokes about your wife, you're in deep trouble, right? Anyway, so Pirush B'Kudrus, the last line of Daf Lamed Vav of an Aleph, Katan Kipul HaLavan. This is a very, very small esrog. It's even smaller than the esrog that we've been talking about. The lo yitachen. And Tosis doesn't tell you here why he rejects Rashi. That's what we're going to be studying today. On the Tosis actually is printed back here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. That's the Divra Masl Shir Esrog Katan. Everything okay there?
That's yours.
Yeah. Take this one. Whoops!
No.
That was pretty close. But I told you, no, we have on charcoal in the Eved Borough. We have two reasons why we have to drink our tea at the beginning of Shir. One is because otherwise it gets cold, and I hate cold tea. And secondly, because otherwise it spills. So if what do you say?
It's hard to put it back into the cup.
Yeah, very hard. It's almost like spilled milk. So on one hand, Rashi's talking about an esrog that's absolutely tiny, and the Chachamim say that it's kosher. Which is very strange, because the minimum shear of an esrog we saw here, even according to Rabbi Meir, who's Mekil, is ke'egos. Now, kepul alavan is considerably smaller than ke'egos. And Tosus writes, k'deparishis bereish pirkin. So here already on the bottom of Lamed Vav Beis, he sends you back to his commentary at the beginning of the perek, which he means on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, dahi deshir esrog the Mycenaean Hassan. He says that this sugya over here of Bosar should not be combined with the shear of the minimum shear of an esrog, which is the subject of the sugya here on Daf Lamed Aleph Omid Beis.
You don't mean combined, you mean compared.
Connected, yeah, it shouldn't be connected. There's no connection between Bosar and the sugya of shear esrog. Bosar is a separate entity unto itself, a separate category. Rashi misleads us. That's what Tosfos is accusing Rashi, because once Rashi says it's so small that it's kipul alavan, you get the impression that Rashi is connecting and combining the two sugyas, and he's saying that now ke'ilu we have another machlokes about the same issue about what the minimum shear of an esrog is, and that's not true. Tosfos says these are two independent sugyas, two independent machlokes in. And the sugya on Daf Lamed Vav is the famous sugya of Bosar. It's Machlokes Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva. It has nothing to do with the shear of an esrog. So Bosar Lechud and the shear of an esrog cut Lechud, and never the twain shall overlap. Now here we have the Tosfos that fleshes out this sugya and tries to differentiate between the two sugyas, the sugya of shear esrog katan and the shear and the sugya of Bosar, Vesog Bosar, is Tosfos here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, Dibra Maskil Shear Esrog Katan. So you'll see that's the fourth Tosfos up from the bottom of the page on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. So my goal for now, and it may take a few minutes, is to just try to plow through this Tosfos and see if we can make sense out of it. Okay, it's not an easy Tosfos, but again, yeah, you know, this Tosfos is going to kill two birds at one stone, meaning that we'll basically learn two sugyas. So the dividends are high. Okay, so Tosfos starts by making the comment that we have here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis a machlokas about the minimum shear of an esrog. We'll call it an esrog katan. And Tosfos says immediately, "Ein zu, don't identify this machlokes here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda with plukta di esrog abosar, with the machlokes the pligi bar Rabbi Akiva Rabbanon the kamon de pirkin on Daf Lamed Vav with regard to an esrog abosar." So we have machlokes on Daf Lamed Vav between Rabbi Akiva, who says that esrog abosar is possible, Rabbi Rabbanon says it's kosher. Don't identify that machlokes regarding an esrog abosar with the machlokas here regarding the shear of an esrog. Now, don't think that Rabbi Akiva, who passels bosar, is like Rabbi Meir, is like Rabbi Yehuda, who passels ke'egos, because he requires a larger shear. So that Ke'egos is too small from Rabbi Yehuda's perspective, and that would reflect the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, who says that Bosar is kosher, is possible, excuse me. And then say that Rabbanon, who have a more liberal view, that more Bekil, as far as the size of an Esrog, and they allow for Bosar, they should be identified with Rabbi Meir, who holds Ke'egos is fine. No. He says there's no connection between the two sugyos. Afilu gadol ke'egos u'kebeitza, even if the esrog would be as large as an egos, which would satisfy Rabbi Meir's requirement, or even if it were to be as large as a beitza, which would be kosher, bein l'Rabbi Meir, bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, everyone would agree that if once the esrog hits the shear, the size of a beitza, it's kosher. Nevertheless, posole Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva would still say it's possible if it's Bosar. We don't know what Bosar is, but whatever it is, it has nothing to do with the size of the Esrog. So you could have a size of the Esrog that complies and fulfills the requirement of even Rabbi Yehuda the Machmir in its Kibetza. Nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva would still insist that it's possible because it has the status of what? Of Bosar. So that's point number one. Now Tosis gives us a little bit of an insight as to why the Bosar is a problem according to Rabbi Akiva. And again, the problem that Tosis is about to present is irrelevant to the size of the Esrog, and therefore it could apply even if the Esrog is large enough to fulfill even Rabbi Yehuda's requirement. Nevertheless, Bosar is a problem. So Tosis now reveals what's the problem of Bosar. And he says, Mishum Delav Bar Zriya. The Gemara is going to present on Daf Lamed Vav the possibility that in Zroim, and now we're applying the same yardstick of Zroim to an Esro, we need something called a Bar Zriya. Bar Zriya means that you can cut it open, take out its seeds, plant it in the ground, and you could grow a tree or whatever it might be. And for some reason in Zroim, it's not enough to say, well, it reached a certain level of maturation and it reached a certain size. We have another issue that has to be raised and has to be addressed. Is it a Bar Zriya? Now, let's assume that in general in Zroim, usually when we talk about Zroim, the paradigm of Zroim is Masros, and it doesn't have to be. There are many other parts of Zroim. But let's assume that Bosar is potter from Masa. Let's just, right now, just for the sake of making some progress here in the sugya, that Bosar is mufka from Masa. And the reason for that is because in the case of Zroim, it's not enough to say, well, this fruit reached a certain stage, and I'm chayv in Masa. No, no, no. It has to have something called Bar Zriya, you know, so to speak, the ability to propagate itself. And if for some reason, maybe it's a freak, a genetic freak, it's some sort of a balmum, I don't know why, but for some reason this particular fruit is bosar, meaning we can identify it as a lav bar zriya, and therefore you cannot cut it open and take out its seeds and plant it. It cannot be replaced through a planting scenario. In such a case, it's not included in Zeruin. You know, there's no chiv maser, it's out, it's pot. Comes along Rabbi Akiva, and he makes a giant step, and he says the same halach of Bosar in Zroim will apply to Esrog. And since the Torah describes Esrog as a pri, therefore, just like the status and the definition of a pri with regard to Zroim in general requires a Bar Zriya, and Bosar is a lav Bar Zriya, so to the same extent that Bosar is excluded from Peros as far as Dine Zroim, if Yuvei Mitzvah Zroim is concerned, so too is excluded from Peri as far as what? As far as Esrog is concerned. So far so good? Again, that this category, this requirement of Bar Zriya is borrowed by Rabbi Akiva. He has some sort of a hekesh to equate the din and the requirement of Bar Zriya as a condition in Zroim, and use it, apply it here to the case of an Esrog. That an Esrog is also called a Peri, and therefore it needs to be a Bar Zriya. That's going to be the issue of Bosar, says Tosfos. Meaning, Bosar is a certain phenomenon. Again, we'll have to figure out how you identify something as Bosar. But what Bosar means is that something fluky went awry, right? Awry in this particular pre. And as a result, it's a lav bar zriya. Comes on Rabbi Akiva and he says that's a problem not just in Zroim, which would be mafkia the chiv masros, but it's also a problem as far as priates hadar is concerned. That's one reason that the Gemara gives and offers for Rabbi Akiva, who insists that bosar is possible as an esrog. And again, keep in mind that Rabbi Akiva, according to Tosus, insists that a bosar is possible for an esrog, even if it has a large size to it. But something went wrong with this particular pri, and it's a lav bar zriya. That's the first interpretation of the Gemara. Ulefi tam sheni, the Gemara offers a second possibility, an alternative explanation as to why an esrog habosar is possible according to Rabbi Akiva, and that's mishum debay hadar, that Rabbi Akiva requires hadar, and bosar, again, some sort of anomaly, some sort of genetic the freak of nature, this is bosar. And if it's bosar, again, I don't know what it looks like yet, but whatever it is, it's lav hadar, it's not considered hadar. That's according to Rabbi Akiva. The Chachamim say that, number one, you don't need a bar zriya according to the first tam in the case of peri for priates hadar. That's halach in Zroim. And according to the second tam, they hold that despite the fact that it's bosar, the bosar is not so nikar la'ayin, you know, it's not something that you can see with your eye readily, and it doesn't disturb the appearance of the esrog, and therefore it's still within the category of hadar. Those are the two explanations that the Gemara presents and suggests as far as Rabbi Akiva's psul of an esrog habosar is concerned. But now we get to our sugya. Our sugya has nothing to do neither with bar zriya nor with hadar. It's a whole different sugya. And therefore he says v'hai dehacha, meaning the machlokas here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda as far as the shear of an esrog katan is concerned, whether or not it's smaller than a kibetza and it's a problem according to Rabbi Yehuda, or it's a smaller than an egos according to Rabbi Meir, is afilu lo boy hadar, meaning Tosis is throwing out a theoretical possibility that we don't require hadar in Esrog. And that possibility, as we know, is very relevant according to Rabbi Yehuda, because the Tana Rabbi Yehuda obviously drops the requirement of hadar in Esrog. And that, again, in parentheses, despite the fact that the pasuk requires hadar in esrog, but he has a different take on the pasuk of hadar. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, for example, says that an esrog ayovesh is kosher. So we do see that within the realm of halacha, there is such a shita that we don't require hadar in esrog. So Tosfos says, afilu lo boy hadar, even if we don't require hadar. And, for example, according to the second reason of the Gemara, as far as Bosar is concerned, which means that Bosar is problematic according to Rabbi Akiva because it's lacking in Hadar. Now we're saying we don't require Hadar. So that means we can accept here on Daf Lamed Aleph on the base, we can accept the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. I'm sorry. What I meant to... Yes, I said it well. We can accept the sheet of Rabbi Akiva that Bosar is possible, but nevertheless, in our case, the esrog that is ke'egos, or according to Rabbi Meir, or kebetza, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would be kosher because we don't require hadar. So again, what we're saying is the following, that we can now open up the following possibility. We could say that if the issue of esrog katan, in the case of ke'egos or kebetza, is not an issue of hadar, then even if Rabbi Akiva passels a bosar, which going to the second explanation of the Gemara is because it's lacking in hadar, he could still accept either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, and in essence it could be as small as an egos, it could be as small as a kibbutz, a man kedisli, bar kedisli, and it would still be kosher, even according to Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't have the psul of bosar, because we're not lacking in hadar. So again, as far as bosar is concerned, we'll have to see exactly what kind of freak of nature bosar is. But whatever it is, in Rabbi Akiva's frame of reference, it's lacking either in bar zriya, or we'll emphasize now the second explanation, it's lacking in hadar. But our sugya is not lacking in hadar. Our sugya, it revolves around a different issue, not the issue of hadar. The Gemara did have such a hava, meaning that maybe the issue is about hadar, but the Gemara drops that immediately. and we have a different issue. So that Tosfos says v'hai d'hocha in the esrog of our sugi, which is either too small because it's not kibetz or too small because it's not ke'egos, is afil lo boy hadar, meaning this has nothing to do whatsoever with the halach of hadar. And, you know, Bosar might be a problem of Hodor, might not be a problem of Hodor, depending upon whether you accept Rabbi Akiva or the Chachamim. But regardless, we have a problem here if the Esrog is too small. Not because of the issue of Hodor. And Pasalei, meaning both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda would agree here at our Sugya that because of the small size of the Esrog, either it's less than an Egos or less than a Kibetz, it's Pasal. For a different reason, not because of the issue of Hodor. So as far as Bosar is concerned, as we said, we're free. We've completely cut the umbilical cord here. Our sugya is not in any way tied to the sugya on Daf Lamed Vav, which is dealing with the issue of Hadar. Our sugya here, Rabbi Meinrich and Rabbi Yehuda, the minimum shear of an esug, is not dealing with Hadar. But rather what? The issue is Mishum Delo Gavar Peir. We're going to have machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. At what point has the esrog matured such that it's bechlal, it's considered included in what's called gmar peri, and that of course is the lashon hashasia mishum delo gmar peri, meaning excuse me, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if the esrog is too small, and again there's no anomaly about this esrog, meaning it's not a genetic problem in the esrog, it's not a mum in the esrog, it's just it's so small that at this particular moment it's not gmar peri. If I would give you an example, I would tell you about a green esrog that we spoke about. If anyone was here yesterday, we spoke about a green esrog that hasn't yet matured, and it's on the way to maturing. And one could argue that a green esrog is also lo gamar peri, which is the previous sugi right here on this daf, that an esrog hayorok is at this point not nigmar peri, and the lashon Tosfos seems to indicate that you can't use esrog hayorok, because at this point in the development of the esrog, it's lo gomar peri, it hasn't turned yellow yet. The same thing applies according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the esrog is very small and it's less than a kibetza, then lo gomar peri. That has nothing to do with Bosar. Bosar says Tosfos is considered gmar peri, but it's lacking either in the ability to propagate itself, we'll call it a labarzria, or it's lacking in hadar. So far, I think we're doing well. I mean, what I mean to say is, we begin to understand that these two sugyas are not to be connected. They're not interdependent. They're totally independent one of the other. The sugya on Daf Lamed Vav, says Tosfos, is irrelevant to the size of the esrog. If anybody translates the word bosar on Daf Lamed Vav as a certain size, then he's throwing us off. He's making a big mistake. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the size of the esrog. It has to do with the fact that it's bosar. And if it's bosar, we can tell that it's the seeds are not the right seeds, and we can tell that it, on its appearance, it doesn't look exactly like an esrog. It looks like bosar. And our sugya on the other hand, Daf Lamed Aleph on the Beis, is addressing a whole different issue, which is called Gmar Peri. And in order to establish Gmar Peri, we need a minimum size of the esrog. You can't say that when the esrog is in its very early stages of development, of maturation, it's very small, that it's already considered a Gmar Peri. The question is how small is small and how bad is bad. So Rabbi Yehuda says if it's ke'egos, that's pretty small, that's not Gmar Peri. And he requires kibetza. And again, we're talking about the size of the esrog in order to establish Gmar Peri. Rabbi Meir says it's already considered Gmar Peri once it reaches the size of what? Of Gagos. Don't confuse that with Bosar, because Bosar has nothing to do with Gmar Peri. Bosar is a different issue entirely, and it has nothing to do with the size of the esrog. Velokamosh appears Bekuntris. Tosfos says, don't be influenced by Rashi Lekaman. We saw already the bottom line in Lamed Vav and Aleph in Tosfos, right? The bottom line on the page that he quotes the Kutris, who says that what's an esrog habosar? It's kepula lavan. It's very, very small. Meaning it's smaller than even Rabbi Meir's little teeny walnut esrog. It's a bean. Now, once you hear Rashi defining the size of the esrog, then he's automatically combining the two sugyas, because our sugya on Lamed Aleph is talking about the size, the minimum size of the esrog, and the machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim is about the size of an esrog. But paradoxically, the Gemara on Daf Lamed Vav is completely oblivious to the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And they come up with a different machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim about an esrog that's so small it's like Kapula Lavan. Tosa says that's a major mistake. He's really throwing you for a loop, because Bosar, the Sugya Lamed Vav, has nothing to do with the size of the esrog.
Right.
Just give me a few minutes, because I'm really trying to work out the pshat here, and I'm sweating it out. I spent a lot of time in this Tosas, and I'm still not there yet. So as soon as I become grounded and I begin to understand what's going on, then you can mamish smash me to smithereens. But first I want to see if I can figure out what's going on. Okay, so once again, Tosis rejects Rashi, because Rashi identifies both Saras as a small esrog, and therefore the chisaron that we see here on Daf Lamed Aleph in the smallness of the esrog is the same chisaron conceptually there on Daf Lamed Vav, and Tosis says we cannot accept Rashi. Dahushi ura itmar legabian novin. Tosis says that Rashi is borrowing a concept from a different mesecht entirely, in a different context entirely. And that's the issue of anovim. There's a whole sugya in Perek Hei Tzav Mevarchim about anovim, about grapes. And the Gemara says that there's something called bosar in grapes. And the Gemara identifies bosar in grapes as kipul halavan. So Rashi saw the word bosar in the sugyan brachos as to what bracha you make on a novim when you eat grapes that are very small, kipul alavon, and Rashi assumed that since the Gemara there identifies bosar as kipul alavon, that's what the word means all over Shas. Whenever you see the word bosar, according to Rashi, do a word search through Shas for the word bosar, and what's going to come up on the screen is kipul alavon. And Tosis says that no, that discussion about Kapul Alavan is a unique discussion that is relevant only to Anovim. What's unique about Anovim? Tosis says, the Bigmar Bishulam Namik Tanimhen, that even when they complete the process of maturation, they are still very small. So in other words, when you look at a cluster of grapes and you see that certain grapes are very small, so you assume automatically that they haven't reached what we call Gmar Bishul, and that's a mistake. Because in 99 out of 100 cases, you're right. The very fact that the fruit is very, very small, that is indicative of the fact of Lo Gmar Bishulam. They're not totally ripened, they haven't matured. But the exception to that rule, the 1% exception, is going to be Anovin. And there, Taka, the word bosar is being used, almost like a borrowed term, to refer to grapes, which although they've already passed Gmar Bishulam, they still remain very small. And you have to learn the sugya over there, brachas, and figure out what the Gemara vacillates on as far as whether you can make a bar priates on something that's so small that's kipul alavan. You know, people might mistake it for a bean instead of a grape, especially if you're talking about black grapes, right? Black grapes are very similar to beans if they're very small. Ah, well, esrog, says Tosis, that doesn't fit into the unique category of anovim. Don't equate, don't confuse an esrog with the exceptional case of anovim, because esrog pre-gadol, esrog is something that grows and grows and grows during its maturation period. And therefore, the size of the esrog is way, way beyond kipul alavan. So again, what we're talking about now is the fact that the machlokes, according to Tosis, between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda here about an esrog is because an esrog is a pre-gadol. Pre-gadol means that it's 100%, we can be 100% certain that an esrog will grow to be a very substantial size. Not like anovim. Anovim sometimes, even after they reach their full maturation, will reach a very small size. That's not true for the case of an esrog. It's a pre-gadol. Now, if it's a pre-gadol, the smallness of the Esrog might taki indicate that lo gomer peri, that it hasn't yet matured. Not so in the case of Anovim. In the case of Anovim, it may have reached full maturity, and yet it's very small, because that's a common phenomenon amongst Anovim. You have different sizes Anovim, and there is such a phenomenon as very, very small Anovim. But in the case of an Esrog, which is a pre-Gadol, if it's very small, then you're asking yourself the question, why is it so small? And the answer is, it's very small because it hasn't yet matured. It hasn't reached Gmar Peri. Says Tosfos, that's not the issue of Bosar. That has nothing to do with the Sugyan Daf Lamed Vav. Because you can have an Esrog, says Tosfos, Afilu Yoser Mikabetza, which means that it's already reached its full maturity, and yet Bosar Hu. And it's Bosar. And now we get to the crux of the issue. So what is Bosar? In other words, we know why Bosar is a problem according to Rabbi Akiva. One of two reasons, either because of Labar Zriya, or because it's lacking in what? In Hadar. But what is Bosar? Will the real Bosar please stand up? Because we know now that according to Tosis, Bosar in 99% of your fruits, and certainly in the case of Esrog, has nothing to do with the size of an Esrog. So that the size of an Esrog, if it's very small, has to do with maturation, and Gmar Peri, that's a machlok between Rabbi Akiva, excuse me, between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. But the sugya over there, Adaf Lamed Vav, addresses the case of Bosar. So what is Bosar? The Tosis says that Bosar is kisha sofo li gadel yoser harbe vehacha. But here, in the case of ke'egos or ke'beitza, hocha meaning here on daf lamed aleph lamed beis, where Rabbi Akiva himself would agree, that's what Tosfos' thesis is, that it might be kosher. Here, we're talking about an esrog she'ein sofo li gadol yoser. This is the maximum size it's going to reach. And this, if this is the maximum size it's going to reach, we have a serious problem here, because we don't know whether it reached Gmar Peri. So comes home Rabbi Yehuda and he says, if this Esrog is not going to grow anymore, and it's Ke'egos, then it means it's not a Gmar Peri. And Rabbi Meir would say, well, if this Esrog reached its maximum size, and it's what? It's Ke'egos, then it's reached its Gmar Peri. In the case of Bosar, that's a case of something that's sofo li gadel yoser harbe. It's going to grow and it's going to grow and it's going to grow. Larger and larger and larger. So already it's past its Gmar Peri state, because it's already as large as, let's say, according to Yehuda, as large as a kibetza. But even though it's as large as a kibetza, it's going to continue growing. And because it's going to continue growing, it's called Bosar, and Rabbi Akiva is going to apostle it. Now that's very strange. Why is Rabbi Akiva saying that this Bosar is possible? And again, we have two reasons. But whatever those two reasons are, they relate to an Esrog that has certainly reached its full maturation. And that we've covered our basis both according to Rabbi Meir and according to Rabbi Yehuda, because it reached the stage and the size of what? Of Kibetza. So it's Kibetza. But Vahacha, in our sugya, we're talking about a case of ain't so fully go. This is the maximum it's going to grow to. And since it's the maximum it's going to grow to, we have a serious problem that it might not be Gmar Peri. For example, if it's going to only max out at Ke'egos, Rabbi Yehuda is going to insist that it's not Gmar Peri. If that be the case, then even Rabbi Akiva would agree that it's possible in the case where it didn't reach Gmar Peri. But if it reached Gmar Peri, and it stops, meaning its process of growth has terminated, then Rabbi Akiva would say, since it reached Gmar Peri and its process of growth has terminated, it's reached its full capacity, therefore it's kosher. So even though Rabbi Akiva says that Bosar, because it hasn't reached Gmar Peri, I'm sorry, because it hasn't reached its ultimate Gidul, meaning it's still growing, it hasn't reached its maximum potential in size, therefore Akiva says it's Bosar and it's possible. But if you have an Esrog that reached its maximal potential in size, then Rabbi Akiva would say it's kosher. Again, is it kosher ke'egel, is it kosher kibetza? That Rabbi Akiva is not committed one way or the other. That's the machlok between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. So let's read Tosfos inside. V'hachi says, our sugya is the Esrog. What kind of an Esrog is? She'ein sofo li gadol yoser. And therefore, if it's ain't so fully godel yoser, And if it reached Gmar Peri, Mar Kedisli, then Afilu Rabbi Akiva the Apostle Hosami, he says it's in Bosar, Hocha Machshir, whether it's Ke'egos Lamar according to Rabbi Meir, or Kebetzel Lamar according to Rabbi Yudu, we can't commit Rabbi Akiva one way or the other. And why? Choshiv Gmar Peri, we've already solved the problem of Gmar Peri, and the size of the Esrog is fine. It satisfies our requirements. But you have to add another requirement here. Not only did it reach a size which indicates that it's Gmar Peri, but you're going to have to add another condition, namely it's what? It's no longer growing. The Rabosei, we have to hack this into our brains here. The Tosfos is assuming that it has completely stopped growing. Aval pachus mikan. If let's say it didn't reach the size of kibetza or keegos, lo chashiv gmar peri. Right, lo chashiv gmar peri. Afal gav, aval pisha ain sofuli godol yosef. So again, you have to have two conditions here in order to get an esrog kosher. Number one, You're going to have to figure out if the esrog is ein sofoli gadel, right? Let's go through the simple case. If it's sofoli gadel, it's going to grow and grow and grow. It hasn't reached its max. It hasn't maxed out in its size. Then you're going to have the problem of gmar peri. And right, what did I just say? Did I say it maxed out? I meant to say it's maxed out. Yes. I'm sorry if I sometimes I get confused. Again, we're talking about an esrog of ain sofoli godol yosef. So that means it maxed out and it's not going to grow any further. If it's not going to grow any further, what issue is on the table? I have to address what issue? Gmar peri. Is it gmar peri or is it not? So Rabbi Meir says if it reached egos, it's gmar peri. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if it reaches what? If it reaches kibetza, then we have gmar peri. So that's issue number one. Now we get to issue number two. Issue number two means it's still sofoli gadel. If it's sofoli gadel, then Rabbi Akiva has a problem, even if it's already reached Gmar Peri. So it's way beyond Ke'egos and even Kebetza, but it's ain't sofoli gadel. So again, let's read the line of the Tosis one more time. He says, Avol pachos mikan. If let's say it's less than Kebetza or Ke'egos, then it means it's lacking what? Gmar Peri, his Tosfos says, Afal Pi, She Ain Sofoli Gadol Yosef. So we don't have Rabbi Akiva's problem of what? Of Bosar. How did I circumvent Rabbi Akiva's issue of Bosar? Because Bosar only applies when it's Sofoli Gadol Yosef. Here it's Ain Sofoli Gadol Yosef. But I still have a problem. The most basic fundamental problem. Is it Gmar Peri or is it not Gmar Peri? And if it hasn't reached a certain maturation, then I have a problem of Gmar Peri, even though again it maxed out and ain't sofoli gadol.
That's postponed.
Right? So that's gonna be what? That's gonna be a solution to the problem of Bosar, right? We circumvented the problem of Bosar because it's low ain't gadol yoser. Right, because again, Bosar means it's good to gadol yoser. So again, we've solved the problem of Bosar in the case where we can check off the condition of what? Ain sofoli gadol. What are we left with? Is it Gmar Peri or not? Oh, so if we have both conditions, then we're in the clear, and we have a good esrog, even according to Rabbi Akiva, and even according to Rabbi Meir, and according to Rabbi Yehuda. If we have the following, if we have A, that it's Gmar Peri, Mar Kedisli, so let's say, for example, it's already Kebetza, and B, it's Ain Sofoli Gadol, so if it's Ain Sofoli Gadol, we've solved the problem of Bosar, and if even Rabbi Akiva will be Machshir. When do we have the Machlok stream, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? That's when we have a situation where Ain Sofoli Gadol, but it hasn't reached a certain minimum size, and therefore we assume that it never matured, and it won't mature because it's Ain Sofoli Gadol, and therefore it's what? It's lacking in Gmar Peri. Once we pass Gmar Peri, then we have a different issue. Is it sofoli gadol? And therefore we've solved both our problems. It's reached its size that makes it into Gmar Peri, it's Kebetzel, let's say. And at the same time, it's not Bosar because it's not sofoli gadol. Tosfos says the following. Avol pachos mikan lo chashiv Gmar Peri. Afal pish ain't sofoli gadol. You're going to tell me I've solved the problem of Bosar because it's ain't sofoli gadol, Yosef. No. Even though it's ain't sofoli gadol, it could be that the unfortunate situation of this esrog is that it'll never mature. because it's ain't sofli gadol. Ain't sofli gadol is good for the Jews because that solves the problem of bosar. But on the other hand, I need gemara peiri. And Tosfos says yesh dvar maharbe. There is such a phenomenon in botanical reality. Sheli olam lo yavo lidei bishul pri. That unfortunately, this pri is going to die a premature death. It'll never actually mature. It'll never reach the stage of what? Of gemara peiri. And Tosfos says, "Umotzi hu banovim sheyesh mehem sheli olam bosar." Again, the word bosar means that they're very small in this context, and there are possibilities that even in an esrog you might have a possibility of an esrog that's like anovim. Again, it would be an unusual case of an esrog, as opposed to in anovim, it's quite common, where the esrog will completely stop arrest its maturation process prematurely. And it's too small, and therefore it's called lo gomar peri. So that's what we know now, that bosar means what? That it's continuing, it's sofo li gadel, and if it's sofo li gadel, and you have it in a very early stage, again, it's considered gomar peri because it's large enough to be a gomar peri, but it still hasn't grown to its maximum capacity, and once you take it off, and it hasn't grown to its maximum capacity, Rabbi Akiva insists that that's a problem of bosar. And Tosfos says, v'odi tochen, he says it's also possible that an esrog, which is less than a kebetzo or ke'egos, is worse than bosar. And what do I mean by worse than bosar? Because Rabbanon argue with Rabbi Akiva, and what do they say about bosar and daf lamed vav? Everybody, what do the Rabbanon say about Bosar and Daf Lamed Vav? Hello? That it's kosher. Nevertheless, they would agree here that it's possible. The Afilu Rabbanon, right? De Machshire Hos, meaning they argue with Rabbi Akiva there in the case of Bosar. Pasle Hocham Pasle Kan. Why? Because here we have a different problem. What's the problem here? Lo Gomer Peri. So the Rabbanon might very well accept an esrog bosar, which is going to continue to grow, and you got it before it reached its maximum. But if it's not a gemar peri, and right now I don't see in front of me an esrog that has the minimum size of a kibetza, then the rabbanon would passel such an esrog. So it's very interesting. It comes out like this: Rabbi Akiva, who passels bosar, might agree that in our sugya the esrog is kosher if it reached the size of kibbutz, but you have to add another condition. It's what? It's ein sofoli gadol yoser. So Rabbi Akiva could accept the kashrus of an esrog here in the context of the size of an esrog. The size of an esrog is only relevant to gemar peri. And if it already reached the size of gemar peri, Rabbi Akiva would be machshir that esrog. It's not bosar because it's ein sofoli gadol. Now flip it around the other way. There are rabbanon who say that a bosar which is sofoli gadol is kosher. They could agree that an esrog might be small and possible because of its small size, because it's lacking in what? In gemar peri. He says the following. He says, machshirei hasam, the rabbanon who accept the kashrus of an esrog bosar, pasli hochle, would still say that if it's too small, then it's possible. Mishum, the reason for that is because the esrog bosar choshev peri tfei. In other words, they're in favor of bosar as long as it reached its maturation process. So, for example, we said that the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon on Daf Lamed Vav is an esrog that's quite large. It's already past the size of a kibetza. And Rabbi Akiva says, well, since it's continued growing, then this is not a good esrog, it's bosar. And we have to wait till it grows and grows and grows. And if you don't wait, then it's possible. It comes along the Rabbanon and they say, wait a minute, the fact that it's going to grow and grow and grow, that's a positive feature of the esrog. As long as we have a gemar peri in terms of the size, then we're not worried about the fact that it will continue to grow. And therefore, bosar gives it an extra grade, according to the Chachamim. Extra credit for being a bosar. Because not only is it already gemar peri, but it's going to continue to grow. And therefore, chashiv peri tfei. You know, it's more than an esrog that reached its minimum shear. You know, it just passed, you know, barely passed by the skin of its teeth the size of kibetzo or ke'egos. According to the Rabbanan, an esrog bosar might be kosher, because of the fact that it's kibosar. Now, here Tosis raises another possibility. So in order to understand and appreciate this possibility of Tosis, I want to mention to you again the Esrog HaYorok, the green Esrog, that according to many poskim, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch poskims, if it's now green but we know it's going to turn yellow, then it could be kosher now. That's not poshib shad in Tosis, although many of the Achron try to push this into Tosis. If you accept that shot in Tosfos, then what you can see is that we can already anticipate now what's going to happen down the line. That's called in the language of the Taz, Lamafreya. There's such a thing as Lamafreya. So it comes out the following, that according to the Rabbanon, on Daf Lamed Vav, Bosar is a positive feature. It's good news for the Esrog. How good is good? It's so good that the Rabbanon might claim that an Esrog, which is very, very small, and you and I would have said it's lo gomer peri, is kosher. And if it's smaller than an egos, then even Rabbi Meir would have said it's possible, correct? And if it's smaller than a kibetz, Rabbi Yehuda would say it's possible, and all that is because of lo gomer peri, but what if it's bosar? Now, we're familiar with Rabbi Akiva, bosar is a negative, but according to the Rabbanon, it's not just that the Rabbanon on Machshir Bosar, and they say it's okay if it's Bosar and it's going to continue to grow, but that Bosar is even a salvation, it's even a redemption for the Esrog. It's a positive feature. And it means that even if Lo Gomer Peri, I can still be Yotzei my mitzvah with an Esrog that's very small. And why? Because it's Bosar. What does it mean, because it's Bosar? This is the Lamafreya principle of the Taz, that it's going to grow and mature, even though right now it hasn't matured. It's the very fact that it's going to grow and mature that itself might give it the potential. Tosis is not sure about this. Tosis, in his original pshat, before he adds the viod, is convinced that I have to have two conditions. Number one, it has to reach the size, and number two, it's not Bosar. That's according to Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbanim say, I don't care if it's Bosa, but it certainly has to reach its minimum size, because I need Gmar Peri now, befall. I can't apply any principle of Lemafreya. And then Tosa says, Viod, and he suggests the possibility, which really, you know, stretches his, you know, he's really, the branch is really stretched out here. And he's saying that it could be that Bosar is going to replace the requirement of a shear. Why? Because Bosar means that Adayin Lo Gidel Ahesrog, it's continuing to grow. If it's continuing to grow, then we can anticipate the Gmar Peri, and already we can apply the principle of Mafreya and it's kosher.
I don't just have negative.
That's the second explanation. So again, according to the first explanation of Tosfos, the Rabbanon not bothered by Bosar. Bosar doesn't mean it's a freak of nature and therefore it's ain't a royal Zriya because it continue growing, or it's not other because it continue growing. No. None of that is correct. And the Rabbanon say it's kosher. Now Tosfos adds of the Ode that the logical possibility exists that according to the Rabbanon, Bosar is a positive feature. Now this machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon is menakotze lakotze, which means that if Bosar is a positive feature, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda could accept, in theory, a small Esrog that's even smaller than an Egos, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, smaller even than a Kibetz, and it's kosher. Why? Because they're talking about a case where it's not Bosar, which means it ain't so fully got alone. But if it would be Bosar, then by adding Bosar into the equation, we could already anticipate down the line, I mean, we may have to wait till Purim Katan, but eventually this Esrog is going to reach its maturation because it's still in the process of growth, and therefore it's considered Gvar Peri now on the 15th of Tishrei, even though right now it's a very small Esrog. That's a pretty radical pshat, and I think he quotes a Yerushalmi. Okay, the Yerushalmi has a discussion about Masris, but maybe we'll leave that out for now. Yeah.
Why are they worried that even though it has reached maturation, but it's still growing,
yeah,
that the growth will deteriorate, the fruit will rot, because it's going to spend its.
Right, that's the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that the fact that it's continued growing is a negative feature, and therefore it's possible. It's possible because one of two reasons, either because it's it's not a bar zriya. If you have it now in a state where it still is growing, and if it's still growing the seeds, again, you can have a smaller esrog where the seeds are mature, you can have a larger esrog, and paradoxically the seeds are immature. Why? Because if you have an esrog that's growing and growing, let's take the case of a Yemenite esrog, right? The large esrog, and it's not, right now it's quite small, but it's larger than a kibbutzah, so it's definitely fulfills the minimum requirement of Gemara Peiri, but if you cut open that esrog now, the seeds are in such an underdeveloped state that they cannot be sown and grow another Yemenite esrog tree. So according to Rabbi Akiva, that's a problem, and that's called La Bar Zriya. He borrows that concept from where? From Zroim, from Maestros. And according to the second shot, the second shot is very fascinating, because why is it not Hadar? I mean, it's already Kibbetza, it's a large size, it's past Gemara Pri. But here I have the theory of relativity, meaning since this Esrog by its nature should grow and grow and grow, if you pluck it prematurely, it may be considered Gemara Peri, but it's not Hadar. Hadar means that it reached its maximum size. And that's a relativity theory, because again, what's the maximum size? You can have one esrog that's smaller, and yet it finished its gidul. It's no longer, and that's not bosar. Rabbi Kiva would say it's kosher. So again, it's kibetza, and I could have a second esrog which is kibetza, and it's not hadar. And why is that? So Rabbi Kiva says because the first esrog is not going to grow and grow and grow. It's going to reach. It has reached its maximum potential of growth. It's now maximum size of growth. It's now already kibetza. And Rabbi Kiva says that now it's considered hadar. And it's relative to that esrog, it's considered hadar. But if you take an esrog that can really grow and grow and grow, and you cut it off from its potential, and you pluck it off prematurely, and now we're not seeing in front of us the maximum growth, that's called bosar, then Rabbi Akiva says that's possible. You know, in a funny kind of sense, the first explanation of Rabbi Akiva, which again borrows from Zeroyim, is a little bit more plausible, because then we're saying that in the nature of botany, if you cut down a pre, so to speak, prematurely, I'm thinking myself of Yad Kennedy. Anybody ever visit Yad Kennedy? Yeah. You know what it looks like? It's a tree stump, you know. And that indicates that, you know, Kennedy was a president with great potential, and they cut him down prematurely. You know what I mean? That's why it's like a tree trunk. So according to the first explanation, how do we define, or how does it express itself, the fact that this esrog was cut down prematurely? He says that since it has such a maturation potential, such a size maximum potential, therefore the Zeroyim cannot be seeded. And according to the second explanation, that relative to this esrog, again, I can show you another esrog that looks just as good, but relative to this esrog, it's not called hadar. So we're going to have to take that up as a separate.
How can Tosfot say that bosar has nothing to do with size when in the discussion we just had, he's referring to it growing and it's not reaching its maximum?
Well, no, what I say is that's not due to size. What I meant to say, and I apologize if I wasn't clear, that we're not saying that the psul or the issue is size. Size is not an issue. We already passed all the requirements of size. It's even
convinced. Minimum size. Maybe.
Minimum size. It has nothing to do with minimum size. We passed the minimum size. So we fulfilled that requirement and that condition. That means it's Gemara Peiri. You can press the Gemara Peiri button and get a check. But what you have a problem here is that it might be bosar, which means it might max out at a larger size. So you and I would say, but it already fulfilled its minimum size, who cares? Comes on Rabbi Akiva with two strange explanations, and that's the sugya of bosar.
I always understood that the uniqueness of an esrog tree is that the pre does not, like in all the other plants, it reaches a size and it stops. And if it stays on the branch, it withers away. But an esrog keeps on growing.
Year after year.
Year after year. And that's how you get gigantic esrogs.
So you keep rejecting that.
So that can't be a definition of bosar.
Right. Because Rabbi Akiva learns that the word hadar doesn't mean, and it's nothing to do with the fact that it you can find it next year. Well, it is related to Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Akiva is saying that the word hadar here first and foremost means that give this esrog a chance to max out.
What does max out mean?
meaning that it could grow to its maximum size.
There is no maximum size. It just keeps on growing.
It could be a soccer ball eventually.
That's right. I've seen them like that.
Maybe we have to do the next sugya, which is going to be, what's the maximum size of an esrog? We have two shittas there. But both agree that at some point the esrog loses its hada when it gets too large. One shita is if you can carry both, you know, if you carry another esrog the same size in one hand, and the other shita is, can you carry it in one hand as it is? So we'll get to that too. But hadar is right there in the middle. In other words, it's reached a maximum potential that still doesn't cover.
That there's a point in time that you call it bosa. So, you know, I can take an esrog this big, or this big, or this big. I can hold it in my hand. We've seen all.
But at some point, it becomes so large that it loses hada.
But if it continues to grow, so how does he say?
It continues to grow, but again, Rabbi Akiva never saw that as a precondition to esrog. According to Rabbi Akiva, even though it doesn't. Ain't sofa gadol yoser means it's reached its maximum size. It will not increase in its size.
There is no such thing.
I guess Rabbi Akiva doesn't have that drasha. You know, again, Rabbi Akiva is operating with the word hadar, meaning that it has to be beautiful.
You're dealing with reality, so you can't.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying such a thing.
Rabbi Akiva,
guys, please don't do that to me. Really,
Tosfos, I would say, is a problem. Yeah. But Rabbi Akiva lived in Arches Road.
Please, Rabbos, some things they just disturb my ears. You know, so just. Just give me some space over here. Whether they lived here, they lived there, they saw this, they didn't see that. Leave that out, okay? If we don't understand the Tosus, then we can say we don't understand the Tosus. Again, we're trying to combine two sugyas. That's not so easy. And this Tosus was very perplexing to me.
Rabbi, what is the bottom line? Which trumps which, in other words? Is it hadar? It's hadarness, so to speak? Or it's the fact that it'll be able to be megadol zuria?
I don't know, for that we'd have to go through the sugya very carefully at Daf Lamed Vav, which I admit I haven't done yet. The Gemara offers two interpretations. Tosfos seems to take both interpretations seriously. I saw that there's a lot of literature on our Tosfos because the Gemara seems to have a maskana, and the Gemara rejects the La Bar Zri equation from Maisus. But for that we'd have to see the sugya, right. The sugya inside. Let me ask you another question. What is the minimum size of an esrog? La halacha. Do we paskin like Rabbi Meir and all you need is an esrog ke'egos? Or do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda and it has to be the size of kibbutz? So let's open up the Shulchan Aruch. I'm going to start with the tour. And the tour is in Tuf Resh Nun Vav, I believe. Let me see if I'm right. Okay. He says the following. Okay, I'm reading the Beis Yosef. Kasav HaRosh. The Rosh says the following. Okay. Now what, maybe we should start a little bit earlier. Just 1 second. You know what? He's focused on the Rosh and Bava Kam. Let's go slowly here and start with the Rosh here in Masechta Sukkah on Lulav HaGazel. Let me see if I could find the Rosh here for a second. Well, sorry to bother you there. Okay. So the Rosh in Sukkah, I always am afraid to quote the page because I have this new edition of the Gemara. On my page, it's page Chaf Ches. But that's irrelevant because you don't probably have it on Chaf Ches. You'll find it in Simon Chaf Dal. And that's true for all.
Simon
Chaf Dal. In Perek Lulav HaGozel. So if you see Rabbeinu Oshin on top, it says Lulav HaGozel, then see if you can fast forward to Simon Chaf Dalet. Okay? And what we're trying to clarify here is, according to the Rosh, what is the minimum size La Halacha of an Esrog? Shir Esro Katan, Rabbi Meir Omer Ke Egos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ke Beitza. Ubi Gadol, what's the maximum size of an Esro? Kidei Shiechos Shnayim Biyodo Achas, the Rabbi Yehuda. You can hold two of the Srogim in the same size in one hand. Rabbi Yossi Omer Afilu Echad B'Shtei Yodov, even if it would take two hands to hold the Esrog, as long as you could hold it. All that is very fine and dandy, but now I want to know how we pasuk. And listen carefully to the language of the Rosh. Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda b'katan, v'halacha k'Rabbi Yossi b'gadol. He's going to be machmir in the minimum size, he's going to be mekil in the maximum size. What does that mean? That if you're talking about the minimum size, he goes l'chumr and he passes like whom? Rabbi Yehuda requiring a shear of what? Of kibetza. If you talk about the maximum size, you got mamish a soccer ball where you can hold it with two hands and not with less than two hands. And it's still kosher. What I'm interested in now are four words in the Rosh, which I'd like you to underline. Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda b'katan. And the Rosh is as clear as could be. He doesn't hem or haw about it. And he says, Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda b'katan. Meaning we require the shear of kibbutz. Having said that, and of course I need a little piece of paper to make sure, in case I have to come back to the Rosh again, to hold a place. I want to read to the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef starts with a Rosh in Bava Kamma. What happens in Bava Kamma? We're not learning Ezekiel now. Why does the question of an Esro come up in Bava Kamma? Because the Rosh decided that the Sugya in Bava Kamma is related to an Esro. Even though the word Esu doesn't appear at all in the Gemara Bava Kamma. The Gemara Bava Kamma says the following. This is on Daf Tesef and Beis, three lines down. Amar Rabbi Zera, Behider Mitzvah Ad Shlish Mitzvah. If somebody wants to fulfill the requirement of Hider Mitzvah, again, that might be a Mitzvah Kiyumis, I don't know if everyone's required. The Pasuk says Zekei V'Yaveu, he's got to beautify the Mitzvah. So there's something called a basic Mitzvah, which is lacking in Zekei V'Yaveu. Ad shlish b'mitzvah, spend up to a third of the value of the mitzvah. So for example, if the mitzvah itself without any heather is 10, you should add 33 and a third in order to go beyond the basic mitzvah, and that's called heather mitzvah, ad shlish b'mitzvah. Now for some reason, which I'm not sure why, maybe you'll tell me, both Tosis and the Rosh here above a comma, when they want to give an example of Ad Shlish B'Mitzvah, of Rabbi Zeri's principle, they use Esrog as their example. Maybe because it's very common to find an Esrog which is basic, and then to want to find an Esrog which is more beautiful and add Ad Shlish. So Tosis says Pirush, She'imotza Esrog ke'egos, Kimosha Shiaru Chachamim. And then he finds another Esrog, Gadol Mimenu, Shlish, meaning it's going to cost him an extra third above the price of an ego. So you got this little Esrog, right? It's a walnut-sized Esrog. And somebody's offering you another Esrog, which is larger. It's probably not that much larger, because he's only charging... Yeah, I can't imagine what he's charging for the ego's Esrog. I don't know, I wouldn't pay too much for it. But let's say Rabbi Meir would be very excited because the Esrog is Ke'ego. So Tosa says, here's my example of Shlish. You have two Esrogim that are being offered you for sale, and one is a third of the price more than the other, and the first one, which is basic, is only Ke'egos. So Rabosa, if I were to ask you the following question, how does Tosa's Paskin in the Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about the minimum size of an Esrog? Obviously that could be made. Now this is not tragic. You know, we've had cases where Tosis disagrees with the Rosh. So the Rosh we saw says Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda and you need kibetza. And Tosis, tucked away here above a comma, decides that we pass the life of Rabbi Meir. That's not exactly great news for us. I'll tell you why. Because even if you'll grant that there's a machlokas between Tosa and the Rosh, the Gemara establishes in Masechta Erevin that Rabbi Meir for Rabbi Yehuda halachik Rabbi Yehuda. That although we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda against the Chachamim, that's because another rule called Kerabim, but against Rabbi Meir we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda. And here Tosas is clearly paskening like Rabbi Meir. He's accepting the esrog of an egos, and that becomes his paradigmic case of adding a shlish to get the esrog that's better than this one because it's larger than an egos. But the plot grows thicker because the Rosh here in Masechta Bava Kamma almost word for word quotes the Tosas and says that the case of shlish, of adding a shlish for either mitzvah, is when you have two esrogim, one of which is ke'egos. Which means that the Rosh is paskening, just like Tosas before him, like who? Like Rabbi Meir. When the Rosh himself, in Masechta Sukkah, says, halacha kirab Yehuda. And the one who notices this problem is none other than the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Kaira. And he says the following, kosav a Rosh b'baba kama, Hider mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah. In matzah esrog shuroi latzeis bo. Shuroi latzeis bo. Shehu ke'egos. In parentheses he says, sukkah daf lamid beiz amid beiz. Lamid alf amid beiz. Is Yosef shlish liknos yotha mimena?
You're talking about the money.
Yeah. Everything. Oh, I'm sorry if I didn't clarify this, please. The word shlish means the money. What I meant to say is that maybe I gave an irrational number, right? So let's see if I can give a more rational number. Let's say that one esrog, which is the size of an egos, is 12, and you can buy another esrog and add 1/3 of its price, right? That would be 4. That would be 4 plus 12 is 16, correct? Did I get my math right? So I'm offering you two esrog, Alan. You have one esrog, which costs you 12. If you're willing to jack up and take out another 4 shekel from your pocket, I'm going to offer you an esrog that's larger than the first one, and it's beyond an egos. So it's an egos plus. I'm not telling you what the size is, but it's a little bit larger than an egos. And I'm going to charge you an extra 4, which is 1/3. Again, there's a whole sugya about whether you calculate a milgol or a milabar. That's the sugya unto itself. We once talked about it in that Derech HaLimud shiur. But the Rosh says, like Tosfos in Masechta Bava Kamma, that your paradigm example of a mitzvah where you add a shlish to its price in order to achieve zekeilu yabeyu is the case of an egos. If you want to get the basic egos, that's the size of that's the basic esrog, that's the size of an egos. And the Rosh in Bava Kamma adds a few words. He says, "Kevan shematza esrog shu roy latzeis bo shu ke'egos roy latzeis bo." Which means Rabbi Meir. When the Rosh himself in Masechta Sukkah says that we passing like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Beis Yosef is aware of this. And he says the following. Take a look at the Smag. Now the Smag was later than the Rosh in Tosfos, but he's still a Rishon, and he calculates the mitzvahs, and in Mitzvah Seh Mem Dalet he writes, Kosav Rabbeinu Yaakov, I'm not sure who Rabbeinu Yaakov is, maybe it's the Torah, I'm not sure, that what does it mean, Hider Mitzvah? Okay, and we're going to get to Esrog in just a minute, so be patient. The Smag asks what I consider the question. In my youth, we used to call it the $64,000 question for anyone who can relate to that. On the issue of this Gemara of Rabbi Zeir of adding a shlish. Add a shlish to what? He says, you add a shlish in order to embellish the mitzvah. At what point do you say, well, you've embellished the mitzvah and you fulfilled the extra shlish? He says the following, Kosav Rabbeinu Yaakov, Eino Ratz Alomar B'Sefer Torah Noah or B'Esrog Noah Yosef Shlish, Ere Shlish, and that's a flat rule. In other words, you got two Esrogim in front of you. One costs an extra Shlish and it's more beautiful. Buy that Esrog. You have two Sefer Torah and you commission one that's more beautiful than the other by adding a Shlish, 1/3 of its price. That's what you have to do. Why? Because the Torah says, Zeh Kein Yaveh. He says, that's impossible. Shareli olam yimtze na v'na. He'll always find something more beautiful. So I can offer you a possibility of two Sifrei Torah. One is gorgeous, and the other is knockout gorgeous. It's even more gorgeous. So one costs you $1 million, and the other costs you $1.3 million. So you have to spend the extra $0.3 million. Why? Because it's even more beautiful. He says, Li'olam yimtze na v'na. This reminds me of Ushpizin, right? You can always find a more beautiful Esrog. So you finally found an Esrog, it's going to cost you $1,000. So you have two Esrogim on the table. One is going to cost you $700, the other is going to cost you $1,000. Buy the one that's $1,000. Hello, that's not the pshat, says Rav Yaakov. What does it mean that you have to add a shlish? Ella imkana esrog. And I'm going to skip for a minute the next few words about what the size is. But he means it's the minimum size. And he's got a price for the esrog that's the barest minimum size. It just passes the red line. And then matanah mimenu, we find something that's more beautiful than the basic mitzvah. Yesh lo liten, he should spend for the second for sale. Ad shlish yosef. Okay, now let me. Okay, so let me just take a breath here. Did everybody follow? This is a major breakthrough of the smog. Again, we're not passing aloch lemaisa now. There are many, many sheets. But let's understand
and
the smog.
Say what
you're saying.
The smog is saying the following. Let's say I there are two scenarios. We'll call them Roman numeral number one and Roman numeral number two. And one is yours, Don, and one is for Rabbi Sack. It doesn't matter. I don't want you to confuse that there are four Esrogim on the table. There are only two Esrogim on the table. But here's two scenarios. One scenario, we'll call it Esrog A and Esrog B. And another scenario, Rabbi Sack, which is being presented with Esrog C and Esrog D. Okay, then? Two different cases, two different days, two different parts of the city. Don't confuse them. Two different people are making the decision. Here's your case, Don. I'm offering you two Esrogim. One is the barest minimum. What would the barest minimum be, according to Rabbi Meir? Ke'egos. What would be the barest minimum, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Kebetza. Now I'm offering you a second Esrog. The second Esrog is larger. And I'm going to charge you an extra third. That's scenario number one. Now we get to scenario number two. We'll come right back to scenario number one.
Okay.
I'm offering Rabbi Sachar, it's two Esrogim. Okay? One Esrog is two kibetzim, it's a really gezunta, it's a zafta esrog. Okay, I'm charging him $100. Again, I don't know if it's dollars, if it's British pounds. Anyway, it's a significant amount of money. Now I'm offering him a second esrog. The second esrog is even more beautiful than the first one, and he could buy it at a reduced price of an extra third. So I'm going to charge him $130. Okay, now here's the question the spy wants to know. Are you, Don, Roman numeral number one, obligated to add the extra third? And Roman numeral number two, Rabbi Sachlitz, are you required to add the extra third? So what would be your knee-jerk response?
Yes and no.
Oh, so you're already a smog. So we have to give you smicha, we can call you the smog. I would have said...
Both.
I would have said in both cases add the extra third. Rabbi Zera says add an extra third, as I stay. Counsel the smog, and again, I'm reformulating the smog, and I hope I'm loyal to his meaning. If you approach it that way, which was Berzon's intuition, then there's no end to it. I can always find a more beautiful thing and charge you an extra third, and now you're going to always have to dig into your pocket and add an extra third. The smog wants to have some sort of fixed, absolute, limited requirement of Rabbi Zera, an extra shlish. It's not just a hefker belt. It's not just an open-ended thing. And any time I come to you and I say, well, you know, I have another beautiful one. It's a little bit more beautiful, and I can add you an extra third. You've got to dig into your pocket. Wait a minute. Let me just finish. Okay. So comes along the spot, and he says, "Nay, that's not what it means. It means that in every single mitzvah," and again, I don't know how you're going to do this in every single mitzvah, maybe that's why he gives the example of an Esrog, but he also gives the example of the Sefer Torah. I don't know. We'll have to work this out. In every mitzvah, says the Smag, there's a shir. Shir means the minimum. And that's where Rav Zera comes in. Rav Zera says you have two choices. You have the barest minimum, and then you have another choice which goes beyond the barest minimum. It's even more beautiful. and I'm going to charge you up to a shlish. Dig into your pocket. But once you've passed that point, and your choice of two different mitzvahs is way beyond the barest minimum, or even slightly beyond the barest minimum, then this whole halacha of adding a shlish as a requirement doesn't apply. And that's what Dr. Joel was saying intuitively. I didn't see it that way. I mean, I was like amazed by this.
But the Tosafot in Bava Kama says mitzvah plus shlish, so the mitzvah is the minimum, no?
Well, again, maybe you could see it in Tosis, but the Svag is the one who fleshes it out. You know, if Don, you want to put it into Tosis, that's fine for me. But listen, now I skipped a few words. So what is the basic Esrei? So listen to the language of the Svag, quoted here by the Beis Yosef. I'll read it to you again. He says the following. Imkana Esrog, Kana Esrog means he has the availability to buy an Esrog. Vishiuro Ke'egos o kebeitza. You see, those two words, o kebeitza, don't appear in Tosus. Umatza na mimenu is then yeshlo liten ad shlish yosef. So wait a minute. I'm a little perplexed here. The Svag gives me two cases. He has the case of egos, and he has the case of kebeitza. Yeah, he's paskening for me. So what is he saying?
Says
the Svag, markis, meaning that the Svag didn't want to enter into the minefield and pasken one way or the other on the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. He was just giving you the standard to interpret Rabbi Zeir's requirement of adding a shlish. So he says the following. It's either an egos, if you pasken like Rabbi Meir, or it's a kebeitza, if you pasken like Rabbi Yehuda. So if I had to come to some conclusion about what the minimum size of an esrog is, according to the Svag, the answer is I can't. There's no way I can come to any conclusion, because the Svag deliberately was careful to leave this as two possibilities. Says the Beis Yosef, Nireh, it appears to me, Shebir Dvarov, what the Svag means to say, is that you should add a shlish to the esrog b'tzimtzum. Esrog b'tzimtzum means the barest minimum. And he says the following. He says that the Svag is offering two possibilities. And then he says, v'chein, he says, that's the way we want to interpret the Rosh. Now remember, we saw a steer in the Rosh, right? The Rosh in Masechta Sukkah said that we passing like Rabbi Yehuda, you require a kebeitza. That's the barest minimum. The Rosh here in Masechta Bava Kama said that we have to add a shlish, it's to the size of an egos. Says the Beis Yosef, the kach bir divrei Rosh. Now it's what we saw in the Smag, you have to put into the Rosh. She mosif shlish al mashe shava le'esrog she yotzin bo b'tzimtzum. Okay, but Simtzum. He says, V'yafal gav dekaimelon halacha kerev Yehuda. So which Rosh is he quoting now? The Rosh in Sukkah that we paskin kebeitza. The Amar Shir Esrog kebeitza. Knock at her Rosh. The Imotza Esrog shu roi lotze sposhu ke'egos. Kidugma v'alma noktile. He's just giving an example. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. Again, we paskin like whom? Like Rabbi Yehuda require kibetza. But the Rosh in Masechta Sukkah decided to give me an example, Kedugma V'Alma, that would work according to Rabbi Meir, meaning ke'egos, Umine Nishma, Dil Rabbi Yehuda v'kibetza, Shemkana Esor kibetza, Mosif Shlish Liklos Yafa Mimen. Basically, Beis Yosef is saying the following. There are two sugyas. The sugya in Sukkah is actually addressing the issue of an esrog, period, pure esrog. It has nothing to do with either mitzvah, zekeli, mambe. And the Rosh takes a definite stand on this issue. We pass it in like review. The Rosh in Masechta Bava Kama, he's addressing a different issue. He wants to establish the basic guidelines for Rav Zeira's Mosif Shlish for the mitzvah of what? He picks up the example of an esrog, and he gives you the alma. He gives you the example of an esrog of an ego size. But what he really means to say is, now I'm not entering into the question at all. I'm skirting the issue of how we paskin, and maybe in fact the minimum size of an esrog could be like a Yehuda of kibbutz. And the Rosh figures that he can rely on us. We're very smart. What we know is that. When the Rosh said ki egos, he meant to say, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, kibetza umine nilmad. So he only gave a dukma b'alma. A bosai. I don't know. I'm not a happy camp. Fakir, just the opposite is true. The very fact that the rush, instead of this, in contrast to the smog, left out kibetza, that means that the rush paskins like Rabbi Meir. Again, I can't square that off right now with the rush in Sukkah. Maybe the rush changes mind, the chesedish, I don't know. But to say that the rush quoted the example of Ke'egos as a dugma bi'alma, and he meant to say that we're going to figure it out. Well, the smog didn't do it that way. The smog gave both possibilities, because the smog knows that it's marketisly or marketisly. The rush said flat out, in an absolute way, that is Ke'egos, meaning that we possibly like Rabbi Meir. And I think the one who was very upset about this, Beis Yosef, was the Ma'arik. The Ma'arik lived a little bit before the Beis Yosef, so I'm not sure if he actually saw the Beis Yosef. The historians here in the group will have to tell me so. Any chance, Yechiel, you were able to find the Ma'arik? All right. So I'm going to quote the Ma'arik to you.
Is it a Shabbat Sefer?
What are you saying? Yeah, it's a Sefer, Ma'arik. You should be able to find it in Otzah Chachma with a Machik.
Then we will.
Like I hope so.
Like the smog is saying something beyond that. Also, what he's saying is, if you have an esrog that it's ke'egos, and you find another esrog that has all sorts of hidurim in it, but it's still a ke'egos, that's not worth very much in terms of zekei levian veyu. It'd be better for you to look for a. For an esrog.
Are you going to a mayor now?
Wait,
So you're going to a mayor? So wait, let me just screw on my head, right? So we're going to a mayor. What's the minimum share of an esrog? It's ke'egos, right. Yeah. And what's your other choice?
What he's saying is, when you're at the minimum,
yeah.
The real Ezekiel was.
I'm sorry, Don, find the place for this problem.
To get away from the minimum. It's to get away from the minimum. To improve above the minimum. That's
no, why you want to say
right, but what is the minimum? Right. You're admitting to me it's right there, but
so what happens?
The smog, I agree with you, Alan, but to push that into the rush, with all due respect to Beis Yosef,
but
I wouldn't have the chutzpah saying this, except I think I'm convinced that the Ma'arik was upset about this understanding. The Ma'arik is going to try to reconcile the two rushes.
Yeah,
the two heads.
But I'm thinking what he's trying to say is that when you have a kid goes, so. It's kedai to spend the shlish to get beyond the egos.
Once 1,000%.
I don't agree with that.
You don't agree with that? That's what the Rosh
said.
Tosfos says it as well. If you have a choice of a kegel, spend another third in order to get something better than this.
I don't understand it that way.
How do you read it? You have a different reading?
No, I'm sorry, I interrupted. Let me just finish
what I said. Now you're holding by bigger than an egos. But less than a kebeya, it's kedai also if you have to give a shlish to get beyond kebeya also, because then you've eliminated all the minimums from that. That's what you want.
Alan, you might be 1,000% right, but you still have already fallen into the trap. What do I mean? Even before we get to the discussion about kebeza. Once you've discussed the case of ke'egos, you've already committed yourself to Rabbi Meir. Why? Because you're telling me, well, spend another third for the sake of what? Zekeli v'aveyu.
Yes.
Which means that you already have a kosher esrog. You can't talk about Zekeli v'aveyu if you don't have a kosher esrog.
It's marketisly. But the reason that.
So that's where I get stuck. No, right. I don't see marketisly.
Even with that in mind. I think that Smog is telling you that's what.
Oh, you're in the Smog.
Yeah, the Smog.
Oh, I'm sorry. I start again. I thought you were talking about the Rosh.
No.
You're talking about the Smog.
The Smog mentions both of them because he wants to say, Einachinami, that each one is Barkin Yisrael, but the Hidur is to get away from all minimums and to get above the minimum.
Absolutely. So, I have no question about it except until Rabbi Sacklitz tells me I'm wrong.
Simple question.
Yes.
I have according to the Rosh and Tosfos, I have a ke'egos.
Yeah,
right? Okay, I have a kosher, according to them, a kosher esrog.
Meaning Rabbi Meir. You're accepting Rabbi Meir.
Cost me $100. Okay? Yes. Then I see a nicer esrog.
Still ke'egos.
Whatever size you want.
Yeah, that's irrelevant. It's a more beautiful esrog.
I had for $200.
Right.
Okay? Is there a chiv to buy the $200 esrog?
Well, that's more than a shlish.
No.
Exactly. That's
sure.
The point.
The shlish is over, yeah.
The point is, we are concentrating about the chiv to buy for less than a shlish. I think what the Gemara is telling us, that we don't have to buy for more than a shlish.
Absolutely.
And therefore I can take this egos, which is a pashuta type of esrog, and I have no chiv to buy the hador for $200.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Everybody is saying
that's not the question. That's not the question.
My question is a different question.
No,
why does the Rosh give the example of an egos? That's my question.
Can you use an egos?
Oh.
You can.
Comes along
no, the you can't, according to your
and he says you can. The Rosh gave the example of kegos.
It's a Rosh.
He was just giving an example. That's what the Beis Yosef said 5 centuries ago. If Rabbi Yosef Karo was here, he was a very holy man, by the way. Imagine if he was here in the room, I would start sittering. I mean, we can't even begin to understand the kedusha of Rabbi Yosef Karo. It was even greater than that of Rabbi Avad Yosef. I mean, if there's such a thing. I'm talking about Rabbi Yosef Karo. I mean, Rabbi Yosef Karo is like, his mom is like a Rishon. He's like a Malach Min HaShemayim. And if he was here in the room, he would tell you that when the Rosh said egos, he didn't mean egos. He gave you an example. Just like the Sma gives you an example to satisfy Rabbi Meir. And you, basically, if you ask me, what Rabbi Yosef Karo is doing for us is he's rewriting the script. And he's saying, let's add a few words to the Rosh. What the Rosh meant was, ke egos aliba de Rabbi Meir, and ke beis aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. So I'm saying, you know, the Smag was not stingy on ink. The Smag spelled that out perfectly, explicitly. Why couldn't the Rosh spell it out? So again, as I said to you at the outset, I would not have the chutzpah of arguing against the Beis Yosef. I didn't have the Marik in the back. The Marik, if I'm not mistaken, was about a century or maybe a little less before the Beis Yosef. Yeah. Oh, you have it there? Mm-hmm. What was this last time? I keep forgetting. I know it by heart, but I forgot.
The Marik's last name?
Yeah. No. Yeah. The Marik's.
Cologne.
Yeah. He was an Ashkenazi, I think. No, he came from France. Where's Cologne? Is it Germany or France? Where
is
it?
Germany.
Okay.
His surname was Travolta.
Oh, really? That I never heard.
You know, in Baltimore, it doesn't matter what this means altogether because you can't go above the price that they set. It's usher to go above that price.
Hmm? Who sets the price? I didn't get it. What, an every single esrog?
Yes.
The man has nothing better to do with his time?
I was there with the following question. Okay?
So we're not going to get to my rig today, Rabbi.
The room at the time that
no, I'm keeping you with a cliffhanger. Everybody has to come back tomorrow to hear the my rig. The my rig is very exciting to reconcile the two Russians. Yes.
You can't spend more than $40 for an escrow. That's right. The rule.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I
didn't know that. On every single escrow, I'll tell you what the price is.
A man comes in with the following question. I just got an escrow that was sent to me from Eretz Yisrael. I don't know how much it cost. Am I permitted to use it? Ad kidei kach.
Wait again. He doesn't know how much it costs.
I don't.
So,
maybe
so it's possible. It's more than
$40. $41. Am I permitted to use the esrog? Ad kidei kach. That was the power of Rav Heinemann in Baltimore.
That's right.
When you say it was, I mean he's alive and well. Okay. You got me scared.
I was there.
Of course, if you want to eat Dunkin' Donuts, there's no place like Baltimore.
I almost fell to the floor.
The whole purpose was that is so people wouldn't go broke trying to do better than the guy.
So I came back to Toronto and I raised that to the Vada Rabbanim. They say to me, we're spending $2 million for a house. We should set a price for an escrow.
You can't buy one for
$40.
That's right.
What did he say?
$40.
The cheapest escrow you can get is more than $40.
Yeah. Whatever price he said, he's
out. No, height of it would be better.
Could not sell an escrow for more than $40.
So you know what? Can you just do a word search for escrow or maybe egos? The trouble with these ancient sparks. point is that the simonim and the shoshim very often change. So you know, you get a new edition. It's like the COVID shiur of Rabbi Chud. If you have the first edition and most people have the second,
therefore
you go nuts.
No mocher would sell anything.
That's what I'm saying. The sales would sell.
Sometimes in the back of the safe, they give you what's called like a. No, what I meant to
Rabbis
say.
Rabbis in Toronto did not have any sense.
They give you a system where you change from the new Madhu, you know. The Kielos Yaakov, for example, stuff you can go nuts because you know it's in C1X and it doesn't appear in C1X because they republished it with a different set of C1. So see if you can find the Marik. I have a few Svarim that quote the Marik, but I'd much rather.
Whether this is from Aleph Gimel Vav Zayin, spelling it out. This is doing it. It doesn't matter.
Do Esrog.
I need to.
Again, you'll probably find a lot on Esrog, but maybe it's all in one Simon.
So the Mocha, who didn't know anything, says, I took it to my rabbi, and she said it was okay. Okay, so I said, very good. Then my rabbi. This is what happens, the Ravina's son.